Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, August 6, 2019. I'm re-airing an interview from a few weeks back. And by the way, we have copies of Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith Cows and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand, here at the Great News Radio Center for $20. Here's how the interview began. I'm so excited about this Testimony Tuesday. In fact, the special guest that we'll interview in just a moment, I first want to say it's all his fault. I've had so many sleepless nights lately because I've been reading this book, and it just captivates me. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. It's God-honoring. It's been such a blessing, and I'm a very, very slow reader, so I have to stay up very late at night.
Oh, great.
And in preparation for this interview, Steve.
This is a brand new book. Came out 2019.
Yeah, brand new. I so highly recommend it for everyone, whether you're an entrepreneur type or somebody that just wants a good God-honoring read. The focus of this book is the unique ways God worked through a company and through individuals and the vision they had. I've learned about teamwork and for our ministry, a culture that they put in place. And so, Steve, thank you for being available today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Great title.
Yeah.
And this book that you'll see on our website and you've seen me post information about is called Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith, Cows, and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand. And Steve Robinson, he's the former chief marketing officer of Chick-fil-A. And Steve, again, like I said, I just want our listeners to read this story because it's so God-honoring, I think helpful, encouraging, and you're a good storyteller. Have you written other books besides this one, Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A?
No, I write a lot of stuff, but that's my first public book.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, it's a great one. I love the cover, and you'll see this cow holding up a sign. And those of you familiar with Chick-fil-A, what a great marketing campaign that was launched some years ago. And Steve has been the brains behind some of that, him and his many helpers and a team that he's put together. But he's the former chief marketing officer of Chick-fil-A, and I'll have Marianne share a little more of the insights. But let me also put a little plug. Chick-fil-A is coming to town, everyone. It'll be on Prospect Avenue. I haven't nailed down the exact launching date, but oh, are we in for a treat. Chick-fil-A sandwiches are so tasty, and just the great food that they provide and the service. And so be listening, because I'll give you an update when that grand opening happens, and maybe we'll have some radio events there or some other things. But Steve, thank you again for being available. And Marianne, if you can formally introduce him to our listeners, and then on this Testimony Tuesday, we can see what flips Steve's switch, if you will, his walk with the Lord, and why he wrote this book.
I can't wait to hear him say things. It's intriguing. Steve Robinson is the former executive vice president and chief marketing officer of Chick-fil-A Incorporated from 1981 to 2015.
Mm-hmm. A lot of years.
He now serves as a consultant and speaker on organizational culture and brand and marketing architecture.
I think we need to have him come and speak to our team or maybe our listeners.
Oh,
so, Steve, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
We could put a crowd together.
Yep.
A native of Foley, Alabama, Steve is the son of a farmer and entrepreneur. He holds an associate degree in business administration from Faulkner State Junior College, a Bachelor of Science in Marketing from Auburn University, and a Master's in Advertising from Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University.
Mm-hmm.
Steve and his wife, Diane, live in Atlanta. They have two children and four grandchildren. And I'm just going to read this other little part from the foreword. For more than three decades, Steve led the creation, management, and relentless curation of one of the most iconic and beloved brands on the planet, using equal parts head and heart, intuition and analytics, and leadership and inspiration.
Hmm.
I love that.
Welcome to Mark and Friends, Steve.
Well, Mark and Marianne, I thank you very, very much. I got goosebumps. You read that.
Oh.
God's favor in my 35-year career at Chick-fil-A was truly amazing, and felt like I had one more opportunity to serve Chick-fil-A family and Truett and the Lord by writing the book. So I'm proud it's finally done and out. It took me about 2 years, but yeah, it's out there.
Well, it's a great read. I'll probably say this a dozen times today and throughout the coming days, that this is a book that I think all of our listeners would benefit by reading. In fact, I've already given out a couple copies to some special friends that are entrepreneurial types, and I just thought so much that you've written we can apply into our lives. But the base is because you want to honor God in all you do. It's that Colossians 3:23 verse that I love. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And that seems to be what was very true of Truett and some of those people that you worked with. So maybe start by giving us a little background about Truett and this great Chick-fil-A, how it started, and how you've seen God lead through it these many years.
Well, I'll pick it up in the summer of 1980. I was director of marketing for Six Flags Over Georgia, and I had met some folks with Chick-fil-A before, which I share in the book. And phone rings, and it's Jimmy Collins, who was the chief operating officer for Chick-fil-A. Now, at this time, they had a little over 100 stores, sales of about $100 million. They were all in malls. And Jimmy calls me and says, listen, I know you got a really good job there at Six Flags, but we don't have a marketing department, and we're wondering if you might like to help us start one. So I interviewed with Six Flags for a day and got the job. So I figured, you know what? What's a day or two? I'm curious. I really liked what I knew about Chick-fil-A and enjoyed the people I met, including Jimmy. So I said, sure, let's talk. So let me jump ahead now to December 1980. I'm still interviewing.
Yeah, like 6 months later or something. Yeah, yeah, I read that.
Over 5 months.
That's funny. Yeah.
And, of course, it's stealth because I have a job I love. And I'm sitting in Truett's office in early December of 80, and we had lunch and just getting to know each other a little bit better. Second time I've been with him, and finally I looked at him. I was a little frustrated. And I said, Truett, what are you looking for in the ideal marketing candidate? Am I the guy? Because this is getting a little uneasy. And there was this long pause. He said, I have absolutely no idea. All I know is whatever it is, I don't want to do it. And I thought, my goodness, what an unusual answer. I was caught a little off guard, but he wasn't finished. Then he said, but this I do know. I know that if you come here, I want to make sure you and I can have fun together and we can trust each other, because it's my intent. If you do join us, you're never going to go anywhere else.
Wow.
Now, I've had 4 jobs in 8 years with 2 different companies, and I'm thinking, really? And he said, the most important decision we make is who we invite to join Chick-fil-A. And as I'm getting ready to leave the office, I noticed Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more valued than riches, some say gold and silver, on his desk. And I didn't realize it at the time, but this was a man who was, he really was more concerned about who he worked with than how well they were skilled at their job, because he saw every person that was part of the Chick-fil-A family not only a reflection of him, but a reflection of what he valued. And that verse, Proverbs 22, was one of the things he had. It was his life verse. Mm-hmm. It was one of the things he most greatly valued, and that was his reputation, but implicitly the reputation of his Savior and the God that he worshiped. And that's the kind of guy I went to work for in January of 1981. Finally, 3 weeks later, they made an offer. And I had no idea at the time. But it was not just a career-changing decision. It was a life-changing decision, because the lessons I learned at Chick-fil-A, the Christ-honoring role model Truett was, in a humble, quiet way. He was not a man who walked around quoting Bible verses and telling you how he thought you ought to live. He just lived his faith, and it was contagious. And there were things in the Word of God that he believed. He was a simple man, but the Bible was one book he did read and study. And he catch a truth in the Bible that he felt had relevance to his life or to the Chick-fil-A business, and he'd apply it. And you had to be a little bit almost brain dead not to figure out what made this man click. And he was a contagious leader that was easy to follow. So that's a high flyby on how unique Truett was. And everything about him basically did flow out of his faith. He did not silo his faith from his work or his relationship. He was the whole package. And, you know, in 1982, we faced a financial crisis in the business. Retail sales were crashing. The price of money was 18-20%. Mall development stopped. I tell the story in the book. And the short of that story, the conclusion of that story, is that it ultimately led to our young executive committee writing the Chick-fil-A corporate purpose which was really an attempt to put on paper the way Truett thought, what was important to him, and how he'd already been leading for the better part of two decades. And that purpose was to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us.
Now, read that again, because our listeners, they're like, wait a minute, Chick-fil-A, I thought they're just great chicken sandwiches, or,
no,
yeah, that's that business closed on business. Sunday.
Make no mistake about it. Truett was very clear. He used to say, the lifeblood of a business is profit, so let's not make any confusion. We're a business, we're not a ministry. But he was very clear that he considered Chick-fil-A a gift, his salvation a gift, but he considered the business a gift. He'd had ups and downs in businesses. He had restaurants that didn't make it. He had a restaurant that burned. He lost a brother in an airplane crash. He had a medical crisis with polyps. He wasn't sure he was going to make it through. So when it came time in a financial crisis to be real clear about why Chick-fil-A existed, there was no confusion about why Chick-fil-A existed, and that's what led to these words being written. So the corporate purpose we wrote in 1982 says, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A.
And that's what you've got in Chapter 4, your chapter title.
I have that in Chapter 4.
Purpose.
That corporate purpose has not changed. It sits out in front of the corporate headquarters in Atlanta on a bronze plaque that the staff gave him later in 1982. And quite frankly, it became a tremendous litmus test for us to evaluate policies, major decisions, how we were spending money, clearly how we were conducting business. It created a very high bar on not just why the business existed, but if that's why you exist, how are you going to behave? And what kind of decisions are you going to make? So it turned out to be a very practical, functioning purpose that helped give all of us guidance and leadership, and it still does today. The leadership there today, the second generation Cathys, Dan, Bubba, and Trudy Cathy, as well as the other leaders around them, are fully bought into it. Not a word has changed. The plaque still sits at the front doors. In my first 2 years at Chick-fil-A, I had some eye-opening experiences that really showed me the depth of this man's faith and how he saw the business as a platform to serve others and create opportunities for others. And if you ever want an example of a business from a business perspective that is a platform to create opportunities to help other people thrive in their giftedness.
I love that.
Chick-fil-A is an example of what the economic freedom of America allows an entrepreneur to do. And I unpack the whole operator and the whole model of how Chick-fil-A was structured in the book. When Truett told me, he said, I don't want to worry about what you're going to do. He also didn't want to worry about operators, how to run in more than one restaurant. And the operator agreement is structured so you've got an independent entrepreneur in every restaurant. And so the headline on that is Truett basically figured out a way to recreate himself, highly empowered. But the selection of the operators was approached with the same diligence that they approached in recruiting and hiring me. Patience and concern about character and chemistry, not just competency. And the operator family now numbers about 2,000 individuals who I have the utmost respect for, because they truly are ambassadors, not just for the brand, but ambassadors for the purpose of the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about influencers and the role that these operators can have over the staff, the customers, the people in the community. You're all engaged, and there's just so many things to talk about. I love this book, everyone. You got to get your copies.
You do, Mark.
It's called Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith, Cows, and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand. And let me just read the table of contents, because I want to comment about it. Chapter 1, the formation of a brand. Chapter 2, learning and implementing brand strategies. 3, test me. 4, purpose. 5, a new brand paradigm. 6, brand journey. 7, connecting with college football fans. 8, transitions. 9, my pleasure. 10, innovation. 11, the cows go to college football championship. And 12, Life and Legacy. Now, you might say, wow, this sounds like a book for business people or entrepreneurs. No, no, this is filled with God-honoring messages and information and how God led Chick-fil-A and Truett and Steve Robinson, the author of this book, and just so many practical insights. In fact, things that I want to implement for our team. And I love that principle. You want to hire people for life. You want them to love what they're doing, to excel what they're doing, to be good at it, to be profitable and make money, and yet to have higher purposes, like to show character and be influencers. And you've seen that over and over again, I believe, these many years, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I sure have. All I can say to you, Mark, Marianne, and for your great news listeners, Truett was both a genius and generous when he created the operator model. I come back to that because it is the operational foundation of the business. And these men and women are empowered, they are generously compensated, and the real genius part of it is that Truett and Jimmy Collins and the leadership of Chick-fil-A never changed the deal. So there's continuity, and not just the deal. The result is there's continuity in the leadership in these restaurants. They're not coming and going. And the men and women that run a Chick-fil-A restaurant are committed to their communities. They're attracting and developing leaders. They're investing in team members. You know, they're giving away scholarships. And so all of that creates an environment of development where people can thrive. And when people are growing and having fun, guess what? Customers, it rubs off on the experience for the customers.
It's good energy, yeah.
Yes, positive energy, and that's really what makes Chick-fil-A hum, is the clarity around why they exist and the Chick-fil-A operator model that creates this incredible network of independent entrepreneurs.
Let alone the tastiest chicken sandwich in the world.
And then there's that.
Yeah.
There's that.
Oh, yeah. What a great model. What a great book. Listeners, Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith Cows and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand. I'm going to see about getting a couple cases of this book and see if I can offer it for the listener to come by the center. They can buy it on Amazon or online. I'm sure it's available in many various locations.
Sure.
But it's a great read. It's an interesting read. It's a God-honoring read. I highly recommend it. And, oh, there's just so many life applications and points. But you were growing in your faith when you got hired on. You were learning about tithing and various other principles. And God kind of fit this in like a hand in glove, a perfect fit for you to develop and grow and to use your gifts to help. You were saying like 100 in-mall restaurants at the time. But now it's like over 2,000. I believe?
Well, when I left, it was around 2,150.
Okay.
Today, there were past 2,400 locations.
2,400.
Yeah, I think one of the illustrations I could give, Mark, to what you just said is, personally, Diane and I love my wife. She's my best friend. She has a deep spiritual walk, and there's virtually nothing that she and I don't agree on. But early in our marriage, we did not always agree on the issue of giving and tithing. It just wasn't in my background. To be honest, I never really had much biblical study of it or teaching, heard much teaching on it. In 1980, my pastor asked me to serve as the chairman for a fundraising project at our church to build a new building for education space, both church and school. Anyway, the short of it was, I wasn't quite sure why he was asking me. It's not like I was making a lot of money or a big giver, but apparently God had impressed upon him to do it. And in our first committee meeting, he unpacked Malachi 3, 8 through 12, where God was talking about Israeli people, he said, robbing him because they were not bringing him their tithes and offerings. But rather than just beating up on him, he says, listen, test me in this and see if I'll not honor you, bless you beyond your imagination. I'm paraphrasing. And I'll protect your crops, and I'll protect your families, and I'll protect you from the devourer, the evil one. I hear these verses, and our pastor, Clark Hutchinson, said, I want all of you to pray about this verse. I don't know where you are spiritually in this, but I want you to just pray about this verse and let God lead you in terms of how you make your commitment. We did. We committed for the first time, for me anyway, with the right attitude of tithing. A few weeks into that campaign, I don't have any peace about what we turned in. I unpack this story in the book. I'll jump to the end. I had another number that God gave me that was different than what we turned in. Hmm. One night lying in bed, I said, Diane, I don't feel good about what we pledged. And I figured she was probably thinking I wanted to take it down. And I said, honey, I think we need to change it from X to Y. And it was more. It was substantially more. And it's dark. And she starts laughing. And she rolls over and she grabs her Bible and she turns to a passage in Psalms that says, open your mouth wide and see if I'll not fill it. I think it's in Psalms 81. And she had written a number by the passage.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a weekly number. And when you multiplied it times 52 weeks, 3 years, which was the length of this campaign, it was within several hundred dollars of the number God had laid on my heart. We changed the pledge the next Sunday. And it was actually 2 days after that experience that Jimmy Collins called and said, hey, I got a job.
Oh, my goodness.
God's divine sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And then on top of that, within a few weeks after being on the job at Chick-fil-A, I get to see the first corporate P&L, and down at the bottom, I see that Truett is tithing the business.
Oh.
Yeah, and the business is still being tithed. So I learned a lot about not just tithing and giving. Here's the headline on what I learned. If I can trust God with my salvation, why can't I trust him with my wallet?
Oh, that's good.
Now, that may not speak to anyone else in your audience, but that's where I was. I was willing to trust God with my salvation, but I wasn't trusting with my wallet. And here I'm now working for a man who's not just trusting his personal wallet to God. He's trusting the P&L of a business to God and tithing out of that P&L. That's just one example. And he never announced it. I just thought.
Well,
so that's just one example of how this guy lived out his faith. And over many, many years, I got to observe it. I learned and I grew, and hopefully what I learned, others learned watching me. Kind of how it works.
Well, listeners, this is a must read. Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith Cows and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand. Hopefully available soon here at the Great News Radio Center. But race out, get it on Amazon, order it online, get a copy. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to be blessed by it. There's so many great God-honoring stories. And thank you, Steve, for being available for this Testimony Tuesday. Thank you, God, for Steve Robinson, the author of this book, Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith Cows and Chicken Build an Iconic Brand. It's a great read, a God-honoring read. I highly recommend it and look forward to Chick-fil-A coming to the greater Champaign-Urbana area soon. And Steve, just thank you for writing this, inspiring me and our team. And I think this book will have a great influence on many people in a variety of ways.
Well, Mark and Marianne, thank you so much. And I appreciate your listeners listening in. And it was an honor to be with you.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Take care.
All righty. You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith Cows and Chicken Build an Iconic Brand. Get it today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Steve Robinson with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.